to Mr. Russell. Hello, brethren, and a happy Sabbath to you all. Brethren, today we live in a society that is consumed by its interest for prediction. The experts and the common people alike spend a great deal of their time and energy wondering what would happen next, or predicting the future, surrounded by observations about the events that are just ahead of us. And in terms of our economic conditions, there are predictions about recovery, failure to recover, how long and how steep the trend will be, etc. Some wonder about the future of Social Security, if it will be continued to be viable by 2050 or not. More frequent than any other areas, though, is the matter of predicting the weather. Nobody comes under more criticism than the weather people, it seems. We have come on everything from sophisticated satellites to groundhogs to help us predict the weather and what is coming up next. But today, we will study a book of prophecy, and that book is the book of Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets. Brethren, Malachi, like his fellow prophets, rooted his understanding of the present in his convictions about the future. Because we can know the future, we can see what it will be, we can understand the reason why we are called to live as we are in the present times. The book of Malachi is filled with that kind of insight for us today, brethren. The opening paragraph of the book contrasts the future of a nation, Edom, and the nation of Israel. Edom was doomed to be destroyed and passed from existence, while Israel looked forward to the day when they would magnify the name of God beyond their borders. The last paragraph of the book, talking about here the book of Malachi, calls for a witness to the coming great and terrible day of the Lord. Malachi understands the future. Therefore, he's able to minister to his contemporaries. There are two clearly identified groups of brethren clustered together at the end of Malachi chapter 3. Any declaration of God's word always results in two groups of people being formed. Ultimately, only two kinds of people hear the word of God. First, they are those who finally and eventually cluster together in disbelief of what they have heard. Though the word of God is clear in its declaration of future events, this group says to themselves, "We don't believe it. Malachi, you might say the Lord is just, that he is merciful and righteous God, and he will come again as a judge, but we don't believe it." Then there is the second group that joins together, those who are set here to fear the Lord. They draw near to one another and believe in a character-shaping way God's word. Group A is described for us in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Let's turn our Bibles now to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, it says from the New King James Version, in verse 13, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is in vain to serve God. What profit is that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? And in verse 15 is their conviction. In reading now verse 15, so now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. Yes, those who tempt God go free. Brethren, this group has heard what Malachi said, and they have concluded that he is wrong. The smart money is with those who resist God, those who take of themselves, who provide for their own security, who realize that though the Lord might say that he's a righteous God, he will never do anything about it anyway. They live their life taking care of number one. And if that means wickedness, so be it. Sorry to say that this is the way we live today, and it's even becoming worse and worse every day. We need to examine ourselves in this regard, brethren. Some of us may have drawn to the same conclusion. We are spiritual people, just they were spiritual people in the time of Malachi. We have some association with the things of God, just as they have some associations with the things of God. These people brought animals for sacrifice, even though the animals were wrecked and worthless, and still brought them for sacrifice. They knew it. When under pressure, these people covered the altar of God with tears, we are told in the Bible, expecting of God to hear their prayers. They shook their fists at God, demanding that he acts as they would act if they were God. So they have spiritual sensibilities. Such people need to examine themselves to see if perhaps they despise those sensibilities. They are in the camp of those described in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 15, who have concluded that it is the arrogant who are best off. It is those who raise a strong arm, those who have decided that the self-confident and the demanding are really the ones who are best off. But we hope we know otherwise, brethren. We need to examine ourselves in this regard too. Have we concluded that it is the arrogant that are blessed? Also, we hope not. The second group that I mentioned before, and we can find it here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 18. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. In verse 16 of Malachi chapter 3, it says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spare his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Brethren, the same circumstances of life pertain to this group as the other. The first one we mentioned and this one we just read. They faced the same pressures, the same fears. They were under the same hard times, yet their conclusion was radically different. Having heard the preaching of the word of God by the prophet, they, as we read, fear the Lord, we are told. That is the first thing we ought to examine about this group. They live in a character-shaping reverence for God. They did not speak angry at him or heard accusations at him. They did not set themselves up on a pedestal and imagine that they were God's equal, that they could condemn, test, ridicule, or flaunt God or their brethren. They fear God. They reverent his name. Malachi is a short book, but it uses one particular phrase 24 times. The phrase is repeated so often that it almost fades into the background. We become so used to it that we almost stop hearing about it. And that phrase is the Lord of hosts, the Lord's Sabbath. Those words mean that God is the Lord of the armies. It is a dread and powerful way of describing our Lord. He is the victorious master of the great army the angelic host arranged behind him, his servants in bright array that will sweep aside his foes. Our awesome God deserves to be treated with respect and with fear. Or we can transpose those two words together. By the way, fear is a main characteristic of the second group mentioned here in Malachi. As we read before, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Brethren, that deserves some examination too. Throughout the day, throughout the week, in the ordinary events of their lives, when they encountered one another, these people spoke of the Lord. Some were declaring the respect with which they hold him. Some were honoring the name of their Lord as they introduced themselves to one another. Some expressed gratitude to God for something he has done for them and their neighbor. Some also appreciated the life of Christ in their neighbor. They call out brethren who love their Lord, both in ancient times and today, speaks of him. Whether in a formal worship service like we have in today, or in the ordinary course of events, at work, in our homes, those who love the Lord are willing to praise him, reach out to one another with words of encouragement about him, to hold his name up to honor. brethren, a remarkable thing is told to us here in the book of Malachi about those conversations we had or we will have. Yes, they are recorded. They are taking a note of those conversations, and they will never be lost. What an interesting thought. The third thing we should center on is the last phrase we can find in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. The idea behind the word to sin is critically think about, to judge, to make a decision. The prophet here is suggesting that those people not only spoke about the Lord in the ordinary course of their day, but they also thought about him all the events that happened to them. When they look at the current events, they wonder what God was doing, what was in his heart and mind as the events of the day passed before them. But brethren, what about us today? When we interact in business, do we think about the Lord, about the ramifications of the call of Christian truth for certain business transactions? We must learn to think Christian-like. Sin for the Lord in the sense means that in every environment, we think critically about the Lord and about the ramifications of his truth for the way we live. On the other hand, brethren, these three things then characterize the second group of people. They feared God, they spoke about him, they thought of him. The first group heard the preaching, but they decided that what Malachi said about the future was false or too far away. The second group heard the same message. They lived in the same circumstances, and their hearts were moved in repentance. They began to respect Lord Sabbath, to respect the God of the armies. They spoke to one another about him. They talked about him. They allowed him into every area of their life and experiences. In Malachi chapter 3, 16 through 18, we have a description of the future of these peoples as well. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard them. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who termed his name. He says, and they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Having identified this second group as those who fear him, those who speak about and think about him, God interjects at this point in here in Malachi and says, I want to tell you what you are going to happen to these people. I want to tell you something about their future and their condition. First, these God-honoring people conversations in which we engage are noted down. When he says, a book of remember was written before him. He's saying that our heavenly sovereign Father keeps track of people who honor him, those who in the course of their life hold up his name in their gratitude for his glory. It might seem that these things, the way we live, the righteous actions we perform, the encouraging words we say to one another, and the praise we offer our Lord, cease to exist after they are done. Completely wrong, brethren. But no, our Lord keeps track of all of it. It is permanently recorded in heaven, where it will continue to glorify him forever. These choices we make here in earth have tremendous consequences, as we can see. The second thing God says about them in the second group is also recorded for us in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, where it says, "They shall be mine, the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them." There is a strong note of God's commitment to these people, brethren. The Lord again uses a couple of illustrations to make his point. First, he says, they will be my special possession, my unique and wonderful personal property. Some of us have an item that has been in our families for generations. Perhaps it's fragile and remarkable piece of art that you value above everything else. We display it in our homes, this unique and valuable possession. In the same way, God is saying that we will be his unique and valuable possession. God says that this, his servants will be his unique heirloom, his valuable possession, which he will put on display. That is what he will call his attention to. The second thing God says in Malachi 3 and verse 17 about this second group of people as he projects their future is, I will spare them as a man spare his own son who serves him. The first figure God uses was that of a unique possession, while the second figure is that of a child. He says, my own son. We are all familiar with the accounts that come up regularly in the news about fathers who endanger their lives by running into burning buildings to find their helpless children and rescue them. Of fathers who cross war zones, bullets whistling over their heads to find children who were left behind. Brethren, the Lord says, on the day when this earth is burning up, I will save them as a man saved his own son from a burning house. We mean that much to God, brethren. Remember that. Put it inside your brains. It is appropriate for us to think of ourselves as loved kindly and with deep concern by our Heavenly Father. He is talking about who we are and what will happen to us, about our present time and our future condition. The first group we will record heard these same truths and rejected them. The second group, hopefully all of us today, believe these words and fear the Lord of the Sabbath. Brethren, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, the Lord makes very clear the point that he has been objected to all along throughout this book. He says, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. It may seem for the present that the wicked escape, that the arrogant, demanding, self-centered people of the world are the most successful. We cannot now distinguish between the righteous and the wicked in our churches today. As our Lord Jesus Christ told us the parable of the good wheat and the straw growing together at the shaft, as to how successfully they are. But we will someday soon know the difference. That's what the Eternal is saying here to us. Then it will be very plain to us. The righteous and the wicked will not be indistinguishable forever, because the righteous will be made the unique possession of God and treasure as His own son. Brethren, we are bearing our lives. Let me repeat that. Brethren, we are bearing our lives. That is what Malachi is talking about here for them and for us today also. Earnestly and eternally, we are bearing our lives on the question of whether Malachi and the other prophets like him are right. But the righteous, the unique possession of the sons of God, will be distinguished from the wicked ones. We are, in fact, bearing our lives on the camp we chose to join, either those who really fear God or those who test Him and show off Him. Using to show off. In Malachi chapter 4, the matter continues. The same point is being made, only now it is a prophecy at full blast, or the volume has been turned up a lot. By the way, Malachi's voice is beginning to rise now, and the prophetic descriptions become more powerful. Behold, he says, that is the probably a polite way of saying, shut up, pay attention. Observe the picture I'm going to draw, because you are betting your life in this choice. You are going to believe or you are not, but I want you to look clearly at what I'm about to tell you. Reading now, brethren, Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like old calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes on the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. The dominant figure in these verses, brethren, is He. We all know how powerful the hot sun heat is, especially this week. Malachi, of course, is writing in a desert region himself, under the relentless dry heat of the desert sun. So when he says, behold, the day is coming, says, yet it is night. Dawn has not broken, but the day is coming when the awful heat of the desert sun will break the horizon and dry out everything in its path. So dry, everything will become like chaff and be set afire and burned to ashes. Malachi did not know what modern physics knows, at how many thousand degrees Fahrenheit the sun burns. But this is an apt description of a desert sun burning like furnace, and the day is coming, brethren, ahead of us. Interesting enough, the word arrogant used in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1, and we also find it that it was used before in chapter 3, is also related to heat. Behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evil doer will be chaff. That word comes from the Hebrew word that means to boil. It is figurative use of the Hebrew word that means to boil food, say lentils, which are boiled to make a soup. From that process, we get the word arrogant here. It is that familiar process that suggests this term to be used figuratively for arrogance. This word pictures used by Malachi is saying that the awful dry desert sun is going to take the self-heated, the puffed, and the swollen ones and reduce them to chaff. It will suck all the swelling out so that he is dry, withered and cracked, ready to be burned. Behold, look at what I'm telling you. That's what Malachi said. You have got to bet your life on one of these two conditions, one or the other, and I want you to see what is coming. He says to us, the day is coming, burning like a furnace. Brethren, in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, we will recognize that it is the same dawn that is coming out the same day, and it has an utterly different implication. It still is the warm sun. It is still the heat of the sun as the daybreak comes, but listen to what he says here. Reading now from Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. But you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with a healing in his wind. And you will go forth and skip above like calves from the stall. For those who fear the Lord, when the end of the history comes, when the dawn of the end of this age breaks, instead of being a drying, withering desert sun, it will be the warm sun of health and healing, with healing in his wings, and we will be given back hope and optimism again. The figure Malachi uses here is that of a calf, a newborn animal, frisky and full of life that has been restricted in a stall overnight or during a battle. When this sun comes up finally, when the day breaks, the calf is let out from its stall and it dances around, frisky and delighted at its freedom. It is the same day, it is the same sun, but in this case, brethren, it brings tremendous delights, happiness, and joy. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 3 continues the figure of the speech. Reading now verse 3. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Brethren, the word to tread is used of the making of wine. So it is joyful term. The ashes, the opposition in effect, has already been destroyed. The dancing of the calves being let out from the stall are not trampling anything anymore. Arrogance has been burned to ashes. Ashes already on the ground without weight, significance, or importance, so that is almost unnoticed. Wickedness is beneath the source of our feet. It does not even rise up to where you can see it anymore. It is not of consequence at all. By the way, this is an amazing description of the future of wickedness. It's no longer going to be there. Where the most casual God-honoring conversations between believers are read in a massive book or computer in heaven, and it will never be forgotten, the most high-handed act of wickedness will be burned to ashes so that it will be stepped on and never noticed again. It is of no consequence. It carries no weight into eternity. The profit, the smart money, the effective choice, say group A, is to be arrogant and high-handed to test God, and they love wickedness, but how tremendously that is challenged in Malachi's preaching. That group will be ashes beneath the soles of your feet, mixed with the dirt, and never noticed anymore. Brethren, the last three verses of Malachi give us something to take home with, as we say. Remember that the book of Malachi tells us that by knowing the future, we can deal with the present. We have been told clearly by this prophet, as we have been told clearly for years in our lives, about who the Lord is and what the future holds for us, that He's coming for us, that we can trust Him in these things. We need to make a choice. We need to join one of these two groups. We will either be the kind of people who fear His name, or the kind of people who reject Him and love themselves. We can fool ourselves, but we can never fool God. We can make believe with it, but God knows what is in our heart. So again, having announced that those are our choices, Malachi calls into prophetic illustration the future as a sun coming up. The dawn is going to break, and it is either going to be the awful dry heat of a desert sun, or it is going to be the life-giving, long-form warmth that brings healing with its wind. Having said these things, then, He gave us, talking about Malachi, a direction to take home, something to travel on with from here on. Reading now, brethren, Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Brethren, we need to recognize than we are now in a valley between two events. The first event was the smoke, the fire, and the thunder of Horeb, the covering mountain on which Moses stood, where the holy law was given to Israel. Remember that day when God's character was displayed so graphically in the darkness, the fire and the smoke of that mountain. Look back on the holy character of God and do not let it diminish in your thinking. Do not treat the Lord of the armies as if he was anything less than what he is. Do not imagine that you can do with a reduced standards and a reduced conviction about the character of God. We can't compromise, brethren. We need to have the high and the holy standards that the law holds before us. Then Malachi says to remember, on the other hand, the darkness, the earthquakes, and the terror of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's still future to us, the darkness over the mountain and the darkness of the great and terrible day. In between those events, brethren, we are called to live now, remembering God's holy standard, looking forward to the day when the sun is going to come up, and as he says here, Elijah will come before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ identified John the Baptist as Elijah. Do we all remember what John's message was? I hope everyone remembers. It was repent. That was the message. In the middle between the day and the mountain, talking about the day of the Lord, the call of God for us is to repent. The ministry of the prophet is repent, to become the kind of people who now will fear the Lord. But brethren, not out of fear, but a better word to understand this phrase, it will be out of respect and out of love. One who speaks of him and who thinks about him, who has their hearts restored. That's what he's saying to us in Malachi. In closing, brethren, let me say that if our time today needs anything, is to be reminded of the love that parents ought to have for their children. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And also, gap exists between generations, between parents who, in their selfish material pursuits, sometimes have set aside their children, and children who, in their selfish material pursuits, also sometimes have set aside their parents. There is a horrible evidence of the bad heart of this age, and everything around us pushing us into that. So was the ministry of Elijah when he came as John the Baptist, and such will be when Elijah comes again before our Lord's second coming. The ministry of Elijah is to call for repentance, so then call out Christians like us today would be ready, having heard the holy call of the law on Mount Horeb and looking forward to the day when the Lord will come. May we be the kind of people who repent, who fear the Lord, people who the coming dawn will bring healing and not ashes. That is the sermon. Again, a very